CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
Robert Schuller said, "Spectacular success is always preceded by unspectacular preparation." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who prepare. Our first playmaker leads an association of more than 11,000 member companies in a $20 billion industry, while our next playmaker finds the honest contractors that do quality work at fair and honest rates. With us today is the CEO of an organization with more than 33,700 businesses and more than a half million professionals, while our next guest is the president of a company that gives a $10,000 guarantee to a homeowner. His great playmakers are Paul Bellantone. Paul is CEO of Promotional Products Association International, PPAI, and John Hill. John is president of the Good Contractors List, and we're going to begin today's show with John. John is the founder and president of the Good Contractors List. He has become an authority in the home service contractor industry and speaks on how to choose a contractor and how to avoid contractor scams and tricks. The Good Contractors List finds the honest guys who do quality work at fair and honest rates, but they go a step further. The Good Contractors List adds a guarantee to the homeowner, which is if the job is not right, the Good Contractors List will pay to get it fixed up to $10,000. Again, their mantra is, if the job's not right, we'll get it fixed. Well, John, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I was going to sing the jingle you had on your website, but I chose not to. And people may want to go to the website to hear that, which is thegoodcontractorslist.com. You have an interesting story. This business is about 4 years old.
Yes, sir.
But you really didn't have a direction in life prior to 4 years ago. So Tell everybody what happened 4 years ago and the specific time, because people will remember that here at DFW, and then What happened.
Well, back in 2011, most people will probably remember the year that big freeze happened right about the Super Bowl time frame. I was having some issues breathing that night, and I thought maybe I had bronchitis or something, and I ended up going to the hospital, and they had determined that it was a heart attack,
and you didn't even know.
Had no idea. It was just some breathing issues. Didn't have the thing where I felt like I had to grab my heart or anything. It was just some breathing stuff, and come to find out, it was really, really bad. At first, they diagnosed it as a pneumonia because there was so much fluid in my lungs, and so I was at the hospital when. And about 3 o'clock that night, doing a breathing treatment, and doctor came in and said, "You know what? This just doesn't seem right. You know, you don't have any of the other symptoms." And so she tested it, and she came back in and was just white as a sheet, and said, "John, you need to call your family back up here." And I was like, "Really? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know?" And she said, "No, looks like it's your heart. We're going to have to bring you to ICU."
So it took them that long to find out what actually happened.
Yeah, it was kind of a unique situation. I overheard them talking out in the hall, and this was what was kind of scary. I was laying there, and one of the nurses came up to the doctor and said, "Hey, don't you have to get permission to bring him over to ICU?" And she goes, "Not in this case. He's tombstone." And it didn't take much to figure out that I was on my last minutes. Apparently, I'd had a massive heart attack. And on my way there, I just felt like God spoke to me. You know, it wasn't like this booming voice or anything like that, but it was more like, "John, do you want to stay or do you want to go?" It just kind of came out of left field, and I laid there for a while, and as they were rolling me into ICU and getting me prepared for the cardiologist to come in during this ice storm, it was going to take him about an hour for him and his team to come in. So they really didn't have much hope that I was going to make it. Everybody was just kind of standing behind the glass watching. And so whenever on the way there, and I felt like he was giving me this option to stay or go, I finally concluded and said, God, you know, I'd like to stay if that's okay with you. I said, but I actually had some conditions that I had asked God. And I said, one, I would like to be remembered for doing something good. I as I was thinking, you know, I really hadn't done anything up to that point in my life that had value, that I really felt had value, and said, you know, if I'm going to stay here, I want to be remembered for doing something good. I want to live every day, not just be alive, because I took my life for granted a lot of times. And then finally, I just said I wanted to touch as many people as possible. And this is in February of 2011. In July of 2011 is when I had this idea to help contractors and to help people.
Now, you have a background in advertising. You have a background in website design. What kind of background do you have in the contracting business?
Well, you know, I dealt with a lot of contractors. Back in 2005, I was selling Yellow Pages, and contractors were one of my favorite group to go after. And I met with a guy that had a large ad in the Yellow Pages. I thought, man, this must be a great company. They've got the big ad. They've got all the right things that they were talking about in their ads. And I went and met this guy, walked into this office. It was completely empty. There was one desk over in the far corner and an old couch that looked like they drug it off the street up against the wall. And a guy laying on the couch with his arm over his face and his belly sticking out, I'll never forget it, walked up, and I was like, I'm here to meet so-and-so. And he goes, yeah, that's me. Never looked up. And after I left there, I was just like, you know, there's really nobody protecting anybody out there.
Just because they had a big ad.
Yeah, because they had a big ad.
They're a big firm.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it
or reputable.
And it really doesn't matter about size, but it's like, what kind of person is going to show up at this person's house? Would I send this guy over to my mom's house, you know? And so, you know, that's how I first started the idea way back in 2005. And I said, you know, someday maybe I'll be in a position to help people, you know? And so
that was the seed that got you going in 2011.
It really.
Well, I want to talk about that guarantee I mentioned at the very beginning.
Sure.
But you had talked about three distinct types of home service contractors.
Yes.
And there's one you zero in on. So talk about those three types so people can have a general idea, and then who you have on your list.
Right. Well, usually when people say they're pre-screened, they typically just say they have insurance. You know, most of the referral companies out there, they don't really take responsibility for anybody. I have to take responsibility for the people who are on my list, and I have a very particular type of contractor that I'm looking for. The one that is really, really cheap. Those guys are really cheap. They usually don't have insurance. They're very small. I call those guys buck in a truck. And, you know, there's good guys in every area. There's some buck in a trucks that are skilled, you know, at what they're doing, and they're good folks. Nothing bad about that. But it's kind of dangerous to me to hire someone who, if they had a mistake or an accident or whatever, don't have the resources to cover, you know, the problem that happens.
I might be able to do drywall in my own truck, but I don't have the insurance, nothing to back me up.
Right. And so what if you go in there and you end up tearing something up and you don't have insurance to fix it, you know? So those are kind of like the most dangerous ones in my opinion, and is that the ones that don't have insurance and that type of thing. And then on the opposite side, I call these guys mega contractors. They have a fleet of trucks. They spend a lot of money on advertising, and really it's all about overhead. Anyone who is getting home services need to consider the overhead of the contractor, because that contractor doesn't get paid to look pretty. I mean, or he actually does, but it's the homeowners that pay for that.
He's got to cover those. You've got to cover those expenses.
Sure.
For him.
So when you say, you know, there's $2,500 off this or that or whatever, you have to take in consideration that they've probably added on quite a bit more than that before they ever took anything off. And they have to. It's operations cost. Now, the positive side of those guys is they can usually get there really fast. You know, and so people are really impatient. I keep telling people, you know, it's much better to stay in a hotel one or two nights if you had to get your air conditioning fixed or your electrical problems taken care of by someone who's not going to, you know, you're not going to have to finance it, right. you know, that kind of thing. Right. So there's the two sides. And then I like to focus on the guys in the middle. It's the guys who've proven their business, have been around for quite a while and proven their worth. They have great reviews. You know, I can prove everything out. We do background checks personally in business. But usually that 2 to 5 trucks, is about where I like to get. You know, they know how to manage their business. They have insurance. They have money in the bank. They can handle, you know, any kind of issue, and they're honest. They haven't got to the point where it's got out of control for them. They're not turning over people all the time. So there's just I call that the good guys in the middle.
Hence the good contractors list. Again, we're speaking with John Hill. John is the founder of the Good Contractors List. You can find it at thegoodcontractorslist.com. There's a number of videos on there that John did that are done extremely well. It'll give you a real good idea of what you're going to get by working with this company. But I mentioned the $10,000 guarantee. Talk about that.
Okay. This is a true $10,000 guarantee. It's not an insurance policy. We literally put our neck out on the line for every contractor that we bring in, which keeps us honest. I mean, obviously, we can't have contractors on our list that are going to put that kind of liability on our back. But, you know, in over a year now that I've been actually running radio ads and TV ads and telling everyone about the $10,000 guarantee, I've gotten involved in dozens of little issues here and there. Almost everything is just a miscommunication.
And I want to ask about that, too. But tell everybody how much money you've actually paid out so far.
But I've paid out so far $57.22 out of pocket. And we've saved so much hassle between the homeowner and the contractor by just letting them understand what's going on.
Well, that's the other thing I want to ask, and you brought that up too. The best way to protect yourself is get it in writing, use a good contractor's list, but talk about the miscommunication that can happen between a homeowner and a contractor.
Well, sure. Well, you know, whenever you're dealing with the service industry in general, there's so many things that could happen. They get stuck on a job somewhere and they have to finish this job in order before they can get to the next job. And so usually the most problems that people have, and they say this is a bad contractor because the guy didn't call them, you know, or they showed up late, they took off from work. And these are all valid issues. But in the contractor world, they have to juggle so many different things that sometimes those little things happen, you know, and what happens is usually the homeowner starts doubting the contractor because they dropped the ball here. Now they're going to start doubting them, and now everything's negative. So if someone can just jump in the middle and say, okay, look, this is what's happening, most of the time they go, oh, I understand, and you're here to protect me.
So at least they can talk to you.
Yes.
And you can solve that problem.
We get involved.
Be the middleman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll go to their homes if we have to. But you know, in most cases we can usually handle it, you know, right on the phone. And just knowing that you have somebody that has your back, and this contractor is not just going to run off with their money, which happens all the time, you know, it's just been a great thing. I think people are really loving it.
Hence again, the Good Contractors List. So tell everybody one more time, how they can find out about you and why they should go to you.
Well, really, we have a huge difference. A lot of people like to compare us to Angie's List, and they'll say, oh, you're like Angie's List. Well, what we have done that's a lot different than Angie's List, and Angie's List is great. I appreciate what she's done in trying to help curb, you know, the problems that are out there. But what we do is take responsibility for our contractors. You know, if we're going to have them on our list, we have to take responsibility for them. So what you're going to find is if you call them through our website, you're not only going to have a good guy that's going to be coming out, but you'll soon receive a call from our customer service reps asking us how they did. Because we feel like building up the good companies instead of giving an opportunity to go out there and badmouth a contractor, it's much better just to go ahead and take responsibility for them and help the consumer get through the process.
So not only do you have the $10,000 guarantee, but someone standing behind you as a homeowner to help out. So
absolutely.
Tell everybody how they find out about the Good Contractors List.
Well, I mean, obviously, just go to Google, go to Yahoo, go anywhere, and type Good Contractors List, and there we are. I mean, we're all over the place. We have Facebook. We're on the Better Business Bureau. We have an A+ rating. Go read our reviews on our pages and stuff. I mean, people love what we're doing.
Well, John, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
John Hill is the founder and president of the Good Contractors List. You can read all about John's story by visiting thegoodcontractorslist.com and downloading his free ebook under the tab Our Story. Next up is the CEO of the Promotional Products Association International, Paul Bellatone, and we'll be back with Paul right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about promotional products. We're going to have Paul Bellatone. Paul is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Promotional Products Association International, the not-for-profit association for more than 11,000 member companies of the $20 billion promotional products industry. Founded in 1903, the Promotional Products Association International is the world's largest and oldest not-for-profit association, which is comprised of more than 33,700 businesses and a workforce of more than 500,000 professionals. As CEO for the last 5 years, Paul has built partnerships with global organizations inside and outside the industry. Well, Paul, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, I understand you are a graduate of Rutgers in New Brunswick. What was your career path to the promotional products industry?
Well, it wasn't a direct line for certain. I graduated Rutgers in the mid-80s and became a high school English teacher. From an English teacher, I moved to the West Coast and became a piano player in a nightclub. And then I worked my way into the trade show industry, which brought me from California to Dallas, Texas. And from there, I moved over to PPAI as a trade show director and worked my way up there over the last decade and a half to the president CEO position.
Well, you've had a varied background, but from reading about you and reading about PPAI, it seems like you have found your niche in life. This seems like it's the right position for the right person at the right time.
I'm a big believer in karma, and all of the things that I've done in the past have led me to this position. The experiences that I have, my love of advertising, marketing, and working with small businesses. So this is the culmination of that.
Well, we were talking before the show started about how I feel this is a fun industry to be in. But as we were also talking, there are some terms people use for promotional products such as tchotchkes or trinkets and trash. How would you comment about that in terms of what you and your members actually do?
Well, I absolutely agree with you that it's a fun industry because everybody likes getting things, and promotional products are fun, useful items that are used in advertising. Companies use them to brand their company, grow their company, engage employees, engage customers. So we want to be seen as an advertising medium, and we have the research to support that. It makes it a little bit difficult when I go to Washington, D.C. to advocate for our industry and say, well, I'm here to support the tchotchke industry. What I want to do is go there and say, hey, we're that same advertising medium that got you elected. Those yard signs and balloons and buttons and bumper stickers, those are promotional products. That's an advertising medium. So I'm happy that people enjoy getting promotional products. But at the end of the day, I want businesses to know that they're an advertising medium that works.
I guess when you think about, you're talking about the politicians outside of their TV and radio advertising and print, it's all promotional products.
Absolutely. They set up websites that sell the promotional products. They give them away at their rallies. They give them away at events. So they know promotional products work.
Well, people know promotional products because on a regular basis, people get something with a name, yes, name on it of a company they're doing business with. But just how big is the promotional products industry?
Well, we count it two different ways, Steve. That we count through our channel, which goes from a supplier to a distributor to a marketer to a buyer. And that's about $20 billion, which makes us the fifth or sixth largest advertising medium. We know that there's billions of dollars being done outside the channel, companies that go direct or companies that might be buying from a different manufacturer of the products. So I would say it could even be $30 billion, a $40 billion industry.
A huge industry. So how does that compare to other medium? For instance, I was in radio sales a long time ago. I'm doing this radio show right now. It's a big part of media. But how would promotional products compare to radio and TV?
Well, we are the sixth largest medium. As a matter of fact, we surpassed radio in advertising in 2013. The only ones that are ahead of us at this point are consumer magazines, cable TV, internet, direct mail, and TV. All the others have PPAI, our industry promotional products, have surpassed that.
Well, we were talking about the fact that there's a lot of non-touch these days when you do business on the internet.
Yes.
And the fact that you're handing something to somebody, you're actually touching them. Do you see the industry growing larger and even overtaking some of the other competitors?
We do. It's been really interesting for us because when the internet and online advertising started to proliferate, we were concerned about our industry. But we've found that while we haven't been growing as fast as digital and online advertising, that we've mirrored their growth. We've grown as they've grown. And I think that that's a trend that we're going to be looking forward to, that the more things go digital, the more advertisers want to create a one-on-one relationship, whether it's with their employees or their customers or their prospective employees.
So, well, your typical promotional products customer would be a business. Is that correct?
It is. It is a business generally, and then they're giving them out to customers and employees and potential customers. There are 28 million businesses in the United States, according to the Small Business Administration. The average promotional product sale is about $750. So we know that it's an advertising medium that any business can afford to take advantage of.
What's interesting, I know a lot of people that when they want to go in their own business, they start a promotional products company because it's very easy entry to get
into. It is.
Into.
And they're generally doing things in their local community. They're joining a chamber of commerce or a Rotary Club, and they're handing these out to potential clients, or they're doing it at a 4th of July fair. I mean, I was at a 4th of July fair this week, and I was amazed at the number of booths that had promotional products that were given out. And for me, it's refreshing. I love seeing that happen.
I take my dog to dog shows where
there
they have
go.
Booths,
yep.
And I love getting the things that they're handing out at each of those booths with the name of their company on there.
Yep.
We talked about this again before the show started, but talk about the successful salesperson in your business. What do they do and how do they approach their business in dealing with companies?
Steve, I think that's a great question because I think that the successful salesperson needs to mirror how their customer wants to purchase the product. There are going to be some customers that just want 20 mugs and they want it at the lowest price and they want their company brand on it. And there's a vehicle for that. They can go online to do that. We have salespeople that'll do that. We also have salespeople and customers who have program design, who want to create a catalog or a website or a web store. They want a comprehensive program. Well, we have professionals in our industry that do that as well. You were telling me that you have a sister in the promotional products industry, and she creates catalogs for program for auto companies and other large companies. So the spectrum with over 30,000 companies in our industry and 500,000 individuals, it ranges from anyone who sets up a small website to those companies that are putting together real complex programs for their customers.
Well, you as a promotional products organization have one of the largest trade shows, I understand, in the world. Tell us about what happens in Las Vegas.
Well, I'll let the secret go. I was supposed to say what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas, but I'm very, very proud of this show. It's one of the top 50 shows in the United States, and it takes up almost 1 million square feet. There are 1,300 companies on the show floor that show hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of products. Tens of thousands of people come to our event, but it's much more than a trade show because we're the industry's association. It's actually the industry's convention. So while the trade show floor lasts for 3 days, there's a separate day for education. There's a separate day for volunteer leadership and for business meetings. So we're actually bringing 21, 22,000 people to the city for 5 or 6 days. And it's fun and it's productive and people come energized. It's a great way to start their year. And then they go back and they take these brilliant ideas back to their customers.
Can't think of anything more. We've used the word fun a number of times. Business to be in, it's all positive. There's nothing negative about what your industry does.
I walked in your front door today, Steve, and I handed a pen and a couple of promotional products to Gloria, your receptionist. And the first thing she did was smile and say thank you. And I can't think of any other media where you're advertising to somebody and they say thank you for advertising to me.
It's amazing how that works. Well, you've been involved with the company for the organization for a long time, and you've been to the trade show. What is an interesting promotional product that's unique that you've seen over the last few months? Something that people would not have seen. Something unusual.
Well, I've really been taken with how our industry has been able to adapt to change. But we're seeing more in the technology area, and I think that just goes to show the resilience of our industry and really the creativity of the practitioners in our industry.
One of the things I noticed on your website, which is ppai.org, and by the way, we're speaking with Paul Bellantone, who is president and CEO of PPAI, Promotional Products Association International, which also says the mark of a professional. Talk about what somebody would find there, specific about education, because you have a lot of members. What type of education do you give them?
Well, we actually have robust education, and we have a certification program that actually designates our members who go through these programs as more informed and more educated about successful uses of products. So we teach about everything from sales skills. I know you do sales training. We talk about overcoming objections. We talk about how to use our research to compel buyers to use promotional products versus maybe some other media. We talk about product safety and making sure that we're putting safe products into the marketplace. We talk about how to put together winning campaigns, how to use technology. So anything that'll give a promotional products consultant an edge over their competitor or competitive media.
We have a lot of businesses listening. Should they need promotional products, should they go to your website?
They should go to our website, and we can help guide them over to a professional consultant. They should go to promotionalproductswork.org, which is the buyer side of our website. That's promotionalproductswork.org. And if they're not already working with a promotional consultant, they can put in their zip code, and they can search for somebody in their areas, and they will be pulling up someone who we know is a PPAI member, and then they can even go through and search to see if they have a professional credential. So I would encourage them to go there. There's great research. There's great tools for building campaigns. We actually have some of our award-winning campaigns listed on that site, and it'll take them directly to a professional.
So give us that website and your main website one more time.
Okay. The website, if you're a buyer of promotional products, if you're a business owner and you're looking to promote, it's www.promotionalproductswork.org. And if you're interested in learning more about the industry, I would encourage you to go to our main website, which is www.ppai.org.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thanks for having me here.
This has been a wonderful show, great guests. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.